Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask that you would help me to preach the message today. I ask that your supernatural power, Lord, will somehow use me and speak through me. That the people listening, Lord, that they would see Jesus Christ. That he would be glorified. That he would be magnified in their eyes, and that the people would have a desire in their heart to follow you. And Lord, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we've been studying the book of Proverbs, the first 9 chapters, essentially. And if you've missed any of the messages the last week or two, or really since the beginning of the year when I started, all of these messages are on the internet in podcast form. If you go to the website, that's joeykelly.net, you follow the link on the left, the ministry link, and you'll find, if you root around a little bit, you'll find the radio link when you hit the ministry page, and you'll find that all the podcasts are there. You can download them in high bandwidth if you have DSL or a cable modem. Or if you just have dial-up, you can use the low bandwidth link. And the sound isn't as good, but the message is exactly the same. And I'd ask that you would do that. I ask that you would visit my website from time to time. But like I said, we've been studying these first few chapters of Proverbs. And a lot of the book of Proverbs, as actually we'll see at the end of this chapter, they're just one or two verses that have a little message. A little message here, and another little message, and another little message. But the first 9 chapters are basically chapter-long messages. Not just a verse or two, but entire chapters that have some idea that the Lord wants to get across to us. So let's go ahead and see what the Lord has for us. He says, "My son, forget not my law." Now, my law, he's talking about the Word of God. Yes, he's specifically saying the Ten Commandments, and in a more general form, the entire Levitical law. But I believe that this applies to the entire Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, all 66 books of the Bible, that these are the law of God. This is the Word of God. This is God's Word given to man. It's divine revelation. It's something that God spoke to the 40 men that wrote the Bible and said, "This is what I have. This is what I want you to write." Now you think of that. 40 men writing one book, or actually 66, but collected in one book. Over a period of 1,600 years, every book is in harmony with every other. Every book tells us the story of Jesus Christ and what he did for us. I believe that the Bible, and of course Christians believe that the Bible, is inspired by God, and it's 100% perfect and without error. There may be answers in translation here or there, but the Word of God as given to the prophets is 100% perfect and without error. And you can put your trust in the Word of God. You can put your trust, you can hang your hat, you can bank on what the Word of God says. It's true, it's reliable. We have a standard, we have a reference point. We have something that we can look to that is right, that is true. You know, the politicians, every night you can see them on Fox News or CNN or whatever. You can read about them. You can read what they say and do. Most of what they say is trying to counteract what the other guy said. You know, I don't want to get too far into that, but at least one side, one viewpoint is wrong. If they're saying yes and the other guy says no, obviously one viewpoint is wrong. But the Bible says that all the promises of God in Him are yea and amen. And you can trust in the Word of God. It will not lead you wrong. You don't know what to do in your statecraft, in how to run the government, how to run your life, how to run your business, in whatever area you want to look at. You can turn to the Word of God and get an answer from Him. You can depend upon the Word of God. But he says, Son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. And these are the promises, if you will obey the Word of God, for length of days and long life and peace. And man, we could use that here, couldn't we? Shall they add unto thee? Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now let's look at a couple of these things. In verse 3 it says, write them, the law of God, and mercy and truth, it says. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Jesus talked about that. Paul talked about that. And that was prophesied in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, that God would write His law, not in stone like the Ten Commandments, but would write His law on the stony tablets in our heart, that He would put His law in our heart. And that's talking about the born-again experience, that when you get saved, you put your trust in God, you believe that Jesus died for you on the cross for your sins. Then the Holy Spirit comes to live within you, and He changes you from the inside. He changes you in your heart. And His Spirit comes to live within you. And then you know right from wrong. You know what to do. God will lead you from that point onward. He'll write His law on your heart. And the Spirit of God will bear witness to the Word of God that's living in your heart. Now the next few verses are very familiar. Probably everyone knows these. Verse 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, or all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Which is what I said just a bit ago, that you can depend upon the Word of God. You can look to the Word of God for wisdom, for understanding, for direction. He says He'll direct your paths. But if you want Him to help you, if you want God to reach out to you, if you want God to hold your hand as you walk through this life, you have to do what it says. You must trust in the Lord with all thine heart. What did it say? That if you seek God, you'll find me if you seek for me with your whole heart. And it says, lean not to thine own understanding. I don't care what the politician says. I don't care what the psychologist says. I don't care what the liberal judge says. I don't care what any of them say. God's way is right. God's understanding is right. God's method is right. And these other philosophies or whatever, they're going to lead you down the wrong path. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. And again, more promises. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now again, these are more promises. It says that if you honor the Lord with your substance, with the things that you have, your stuff, and with the first fruits of thine increase. And what is that saying? I remember throughout the Word of God, it talks about tithing, and then also above tithing, to pay offerings. Paul said that you should lay aside everything that you make during the week, and on the first day of the week, on Sunday, you come and pay your tithe. I'd like to turn briefly to the book of Malachi. This is the, let's say, the quintessential passage on tithing and giving offerings to the Lord. In verse 8 of Malachi chapter 3. Malachi, where's that? That's right before the book of Matthew. Go to Matthew, take a left. It's the last book in the Old Testament. Verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And God says, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. He says, bring ye all of the tithes into the storehouse. What's a tithe? A tithe is a tenth. A tenth of what you make. If you make $100 a week, you should give $10 to God every week. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be not room enough to receive it. And then a promise, another promise, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Then he shall not destroy the fruits of thy ground, neither shall thy vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. A wonderful promise, a glorious promise, that if you trust God with one-tenth of what you make, a dime out of every dollar, if you'll trust God in tithing, then He will make sure that you're fed. He will make sure that, yes, that times may get a little lean, you may lose your job, you may get kicked out of your place, but in the end, you will come out on top. In the end, God will take care of you. If you're careful and faithful to give to Him when you have, then when you don't have, God will come to your rescue. And that's a wonderful promise that we have. It says, back to Proverbs chapter 3, it says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, obviously, he's talking about farmers and what have you. But this new wine, there's another reference. That phrase also speaks of the Holy Spirit, that there's the filling of the Holy Spirit that God will give to us when we trust Him, simply giving in the offering plate what is truly the Lord's and rightfully the Lord's. God will do something in your heart. God will help you. God will lift you up by His Holy Spirit, simply by dropping money into the plate. Verse 11, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth. Verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Well, what's so valuable? He says wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and understanding. It's worth more than anything that you or I could ever have, the Bible says. More precious than rubies, it says. This reminds me of the book of Psalms, chapter 19. Several verses in here, I guess from verse 7 of chapter 19 of Psalms through verse 11. That reminds me of a little song. Maybe some of you have heard it. I'll read just briefly. For the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, and the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. In verse 11, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. I won't try to sing it, but many of you know that chorus. And you know, the book of Psalms, the word Psalms in Hebrew generally means a song. And most of these were meant to be sung. But again, that shows you that God may have a theme, and he'll say one thing in one book, but if you look in another place, many times you'll find that same theme in another, perhaps unrelated, book of the Bible. Let's start at verse 16 again in Proverbs 3. He said, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Speaking of wisdom and understanding, her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. And again, we mentioned peace just a bit ago. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. And that word tree of life obviously is talking about salvation. Verse 19, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, and by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down with dew. Verse 21, and here he goes back to talking about the law, the word of God, that we should keep the law in our hearts. He said, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. And again, discretion is knowing what to do in any given situation. We covered that in chapter 1. So shall there be life unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in the way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. And that reminds me of a couple of chapters in Psalms. Psalms chapter 23, and also the Psalm 91, the one that the soldiers pray. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall keep thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. And again, wonderful promises that if you will trust in the Lord, if you will put his way and his word above everything else, he will watch out for you. He will protect you. He will provide for you. He will make a way for you. Everything that you need, God has, and God will give to you when you need it, if you will simply go his way, if you will simply do the things that he says to do. And his ways are not grievous, it says. His burden is not heavy, but his yoke and his burden are light. And that's in Matthew chapter 11, I believe. Verse 27. And I said in the beginning of the program that at the end of the chapter, there would be just one or two verses at a time that would give a little message. And I guess this gives a preview for the rest of the bulk of the book of Proverbs, where, let's say, if you look in, for instance, chapter 19 or chapter 27 or something like that, you'll find that there's just one or two verses that give a little message, and not this whole chapter. But the last few verses of this chapter do exactly that. It'll give just one or two verses, and then it'll go ahead and give a little message. But if you listen and look carefully, you'll see that they're all related, even though they're just one or two verses in length. And sometimes you'll say, well, this verse doesn't apply to the one before it. But many times, if we'll let the Lord teach us, we'll see that all of his word, it all goes together, it all relates. And it's all homogeneous, if you want to use that word. Verse 27: Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it's in the power of thine hand to do so. Say not to thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give thee when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Now, this, remember, I guess last week, I showed you, or I shared with you, probably the most precious verse to me in the entire Word of God, which is Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He says, the Lord has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justice, and to love mercy, and the walk humbly with thy God. Well, what does it mean to do these things? Well, let's take a practical look. It says, if you've got the power to help somebody, go ahead and help them. If you see somebody that's genuinely poor, genuinely in need, and you know, the people, I work downtown, and every day I'll go to lunch here or there, and I'll see beggars. If there's a genuine person that's in need, I'll help them. But if it's somebody that it's obvious, it looks obvious that they're probably going to take my money, go around the corner and score some drugs, I'm not going to give them any money. Now, I'm perfectly willing to give to a mission. I'm perfectly willing to go with a group of people, let's say on Friday night, and minister down in the French Quarter or something. I'm perfectly willing to help these people. But I'm not going to enable them to drink or to do drugs. But it says that, for example, if you have the power to help somebody, your neighbor perhaps, he can't quite make the rent, or he doesn't have anything to eat, or something like that, and you've got an extra $20 in your pocket, and you won't miss it. If you lose it on the street, you won't miss it. Go ahead and give the money to them, and be kind to them, be merciful to them. And that's a very practical thing to do. And that would fulfill the law of love. You know, the Ten Commandments, they says, thou shalt not do this and thou shalt not do that. But Jesus said, well, turn it around, and if you'll do and act in love and think in love, then you keep the Ten Commandments. It says in verse 28, say not to thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give thee when thou hast it by thee. You know, that's a little bit different from not giving anything at all. You've got the money, but you say, no, next time I'll give it to you. You see, we're supposed to be kind to the poor. We're supposed to have mercy and reach out to the poor and to show kindness to them. You know, and this is a common theme in the Word of God, that if you're on the top, if you're the one with money or you're the one with resources, you're supposed to have mercy to those that are not on the top. Let's say the ones that don't have money or don't have resources or whatever. And that God looks at you and He judges you by the way that you treat those that are less than yourself. That's a common theme in the Word of God. And I believe the Word of God many times will show us that's one of the things that God has for us, is to be kind to those who are less fortunate than ourselves. After all, God was kind to us when we were in need. God was kind to us when we were in sin. While we were yet sinners, it says, Christ died for us. And if God can do this great thing for us, if God can give the life of His Son for us, then when somebody asks you and you have the opportunity and the power to do so, to help them, to go ahead and do that. And again, that's a very common theme in the Word of God, to demonstrate our love, because God has demonstrated His to us. Verse 30, strive not with a man without harm. Strive not with a man without cause, if he hath done thee no harm. And again, I believe that you can say that's a retelling of the idea that we should be kind to people and don't stir up strife just to do it, but to be kind to people. Verse 31, envy thou not the oppressor and choose none of his ways, for the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. So you see, if you live for God, if you'll do the things of God, if you'll strive to be a Christian and to live for God, then God will reveal His ways to you. But those that don't want to have anything to do with God, God doesn't bother speaking to them at all. Yes, He tries to draw them to Himself. He will send people to witness to them, to preach to them, certainly. But the hidden things of the Word of God, they won't see. For instance, the blessing of tithing, He won't bother showing that to a sinner. So don't be envious against the oppressor. You know, if somebody's selling drugs and they're making a lot of money, forget them. Don't worry about them. One of the guys, I believe it was Asaph, in the book of Psalms, he said, my feet had well nigh slipped when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. But if you be faithful to him, to God, he'll take care of you. Verse 33, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but he gives his grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Don't be a fool. Be wise. Follow the Lord today. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. Or just go to the main page and follow the links on the left, and you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.